Well, Willie Burnett is not the first speaker. Aren't you pleased that we're saving the best wine till the last? And a delight to have the pleasure of sharing the ministry with our dear brother, whom we've known and loved for a number of years and whose ministry I'm very much looking forward to throughout this conference weekend. My name is Arnett McEntee, and I come from St. Catharines, and it's nice to see a number of folks here that used to live in that great city, and then friends from Chicago and Boca and elsewhere that we've been looking forward to meeting and enjoying so much when we knew we were coming. I'd like to consider with you during the messages that are my responsibility four of the crowns of Holy Scripture. And it is my prayer that God the Spirit would be present, certainly to bless and to guide and to use for His glory. You and I are in a race. Like it or not, we are. Are you winning? Am I winning? So important to realize that there is a race, we are in it, and as we study the crowns, I sincerely hope and pray that we will realize with Paul the importance of running the race and earning the crowns well. Paul appreciated crowns. He was familiar certainly with the Isthmian Games, which were second only to the great Olympics. And as your country and all the rest of the world gets excited about the Olympics to take place a little later, how wonderful it would be if in the goodness of God the Spirit touched our hearts and our lives in preparation for crowns that are to be won. His name was Toby Mickey Thompson, hardly a household name in America. A number of years ago, Mickey Thompson was a well-known race car driver. He had the distinct honor of leading the races on 29 occasions in which he entered. The tragic part was, he never finished one. The cars that had been built by his team, they thought were the best. But somewhere along the line, they would blow an engine, or carburetor would malfunction, or a transmission would go out. And Mickey Thompson never finished a race. You and I are in a race. Important to start well, all the more important to finish well. Let's read about one of these crowns as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9, and let's read in at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We pray that its preciousness would grip each of our souls, and that together we might learn well the things You have for us this weekend. We pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen. It's very interesting that back in the days of the beloved apostle, those who would take part in the games that were so popular were required to pledge themselves to preparation for the games over a 10-month period. Actually, they took an oath that they would practice, that they would adhere to certain instructions and directions. They were not to resort to any unfair practices. If they did, they would, of course, be disqualified. At the close of the race, the winner would receive a prize. It was a crown, often made of wild olive branches, and his name would be loudly proclaimed, not only at the location of the games, but throughout the cities nearby. The prize was to be awarded on the last day, and the winner would be a part of a great parade. Beloved, those who were contestants in those games and in those races had to continue and to grow and become strong. I want to think with you this evening about three aspects of the competitor. Number one, think about the contestants as a whole. Think with me about their conditioning, and finally, their crown. And may, as the God the Spirit is present, He so speak to you and me that we will be encouraged in the way we run the race. Notice with me, please, in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. These who were competitors were reminded that they were all in a race. And you and I, as believers in Christ, are in a race. We became competitors. We became participants, possibly would be a better word, the moment we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And as we run, we want to run for the glory of our great God. In the Christian race, all who participate are volunteers. No one has been conscripted. But you became a participant in the race, I repeat, the moment you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I like the way the Amplified puts the text when it says, "Do you not know that in a race all members compete? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it your own." And that was the apostle's desire, that the race in which he was running for God and His glory might be a race in which he would run successfully. Paul could say in Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 2, he wanted to run not in vain. Paul did not want to run in vain. He was out to win. And you and I should be involved in the service of God and His Son with the same intense desire to win, to please Him, to bring honor and glory to His holy name. We read this evening about the incorruptible crown. Pardon me, the corruptible crown and the incorruptible crown. Verse 25. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." You and I are involved in a race, and as prospective winners, we look forward to the day we will receive an incorruptible crown. What a joy that will be. We run that we may obtain. There's one to be received by every participant in the race if we run according to the rules. And that's what Paul is seeking to lay on the Corinthian saints, that they must abide by the rules, and they must run the race, participate in the event, whatever it might be, with an intensity and a desire that will bring honor and glory to Him. The contestants must be of a good condition, spiritual condition. Of course, going back to the days of the Isthmian and the Olympic Games, every contestant must be physically fit, strong to endure the rigors of the race or the event. We must follow ever so carefully those instructions that are given in the inspired Word, to live close to our God, to live in fellowship with Him, to know His Word, to know fellowship with Him, and to obey and honor Him in all that we seek to do. Any race that is to be run must be run according to the rules of the race and the direction of the coach. I remember seeing a set of games several years ago from New Zealand. And I watched the runners, and there was one young woman who was intent on winning, but she made a major error. She turned and she looked back. In doing so, she lost a half a step, and she lost the race by a half a step. How tragic. What had she done? She had failed to abide by the rules that had been given her. And as a contestant, this young woman who had sought to take a crown missed it because of that cardinal error. And it's the desire of God that you and I should so run our race that we will bring honor and glory to His precious and infinitely holy name. Notice not only the contestants, and we are all contestants, but notice as well the conditioning. Verse 25, "For every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." They are temperate in all things. They will seek to have the proper food. Their diet will be appropriate to the event. It will build into their body that muscle and that strength that is so necessary as they compete. So they will be temperate in all things. They were to abstain from the unwholesome foods of some diets. The individual that's going to partake in games today will no doubt not be consuming a great deal of junk food, that which has elements that would be detrimental to a strong, healthy body. And we who are engaged in our race for God, we don't want to be consuming the junk food of a world that is destined for the flames. Temperate in all things, to abstain from those things that will not add strength to the body. The unwholesome foods and the unwholesome drinks and the unwholesome practices, that which we might again refer to as the junk food, the fat that would add baggage to the body, that would hinder the individual as he seeks to compete. Certainly, the body must be kept under control. There is no place in the body of a believer for strong drink. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink raging. And one who consumes it, what does he do? He loses control of himself. And he loses control of the body. And so it is in the spiritual. As you and I would be tempted to take part in those things that would in any way hinder us in our walk with God. You and I, sadly, live in a sex-sodden society. And to become occupied with those things is to have a mind that is not concentrating on God, His Word, and His Son. And so it's the desire of our God that we make absolutely certain that our diet and our conditioning is the best. Paul, writing to the Thessalonian saints in the fifth chapter, he says, abstain from all appearances of evil. It was my solemn responsibility very recently, along with one of my fellow elders, to speak to a young woman who is doing something that appears to be evil. It may not be evil, but it surely has every appearance of it. And that being the case, it is not good for her, it is not good for her family, it is not good for others that would be observing and watching her life. Paul, the apostle then, could plead with the saints, abstain from all appearances of evil. And dear ones, this evening, may you and I so abstain. We used to speak and preach this to young people as we had a burden for them, and we continue to do it. But beloved, it seems to me the older I get that Satan's target is becoming, his target is the object, some of the saints who have been going on well for years, and yet in his craftiness, in his wickedness, he trips them up. And it isn't long before they make shipwreck of their lives. Paul, concerned then about the condition of the participants in the race, might well so encourage them, abstain from all appearances of evil. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 12 and verse 1, these words, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you. How important. As you and I would be involved in the Christian race, just as we would be involved in any race of the natural sense. In the natural, the skilled runner will shed every unnecessary weight. His clothing will be the lightest possible. His shoes the same. And he will run to the best of his ability. But tragically, as believers, it is possible that we become occupied with the things of the world. And what do? Why, they serve as weights, these things that would so easily beset us. We become entrapped by them, and they impede our progress and our run in walking for our God. Are there these things in your life and mine that would in any way hinder us as we seek to run and serve Him? Things that are possibly natural and maybe even legitimate. And yet, in the spiritual, they suck up our time. They take our energy. And consequently, we do not have the vitality and the strength and the endurance when it comes to truly running and racing for God. You notice the Apostle Paul, as he talks about another athletic event, he could say, when he went into the ring, he didn't want to beat the air. He wanted every blow to find its mark. He did not want to be as one who would only beat the air. He wanted to make an impact for God in everything that he did. I wonder, is that the way you and I are running our race for God? As we seek to win the incorruptible crown? The wrestler, speaking one day to his coach, he said, you mean, coach, that if I'm going to wrestle, I can't smoke, I can't drink, and I can't run around? Oh, the coach says, you can still wrestle, but you won't win. He could still do those things, but he wouldn't win. And if you and I, as believers, regardless of age, have set our objective on winning a crown to be placed on the brow by the nail-pierced hand, it will be in direct proportion to us knowing what it is to give all for him. Paul says in verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into captivity, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway or unapproved. Paul, as far as he was concerned, he did not want to be a castaway or laid aside or unapproved. He wanted to go on for God and win. And so what does he say? I keep my body and bring it under, a better word possibly would be, captivity. I want to have total control over this body of mine. A number of years ago, Helen and I had the joy of being entertained in the home of one of our friends in St. Catharines. We had a most delicious meal. And when it came time for dessert, a handsome, well-built young man with a fantastic physique excused himself. We had our whipped cream-laden dessert. Delicious. And possibly about a half an hour later, Brian came back into the room. He was covered with perspiration from head to toe. You see, he was preparing to become one of Canada's national oarsmen. And while we had our calorie-laden dessert, Brian was out on the rowing machine, making his body do what he wanted it to do. So when the moment of competition came, and he demanded from every muscle, every sinew, all the strength he had, he knew his body would measure up. Why? He brought it into captivity. Dear child of God, isn't that what you and I need to do in our race, in our competition? We must bring our body, spiritually speaking, under the control of the blessed Holy Spirit of God, so that when we witness, when we live, when we walk, when we talk, whatever we do might be for the glory of God, bringing honor and praise to his beloved name. He says again in verse 27, to bring it into subjection. He was going to work his body. He was going to beat it black and blue if it was necessary to make it do what he wanted. Let's face it. There are things that are demanded of you and me as believers if we are going to be effective for God. We need to pray. That's not an easy task. Or am I the only one that has the problem? We need to study this book. It's not a matter of reading it. It's a matter of studying it. And I don't know about you, but I found in my days of my education, whether it was high school or university, that study was not something that came naturally. I didn't enjoy it. The best day of school was the last day as far as I was concerned. But then I found that I have to keep studying. And I have to study this book. Of course, in this study, we have the added resource of the person of the Holy Spirit, who takes the page and illuminates it and makes it so appealing. But as far as Paul was concerned, that body, whether it was engaged in the proclamation of the gospel as a foreign missionary, whether it was in the mastering and the study of the word, whether it was those silent, quiet, lengthy vigils in the presence of God, he had to buffet it till it was black and blue. Oh, beloved, may the Spirit of God in His own great, gracious, and tender way teach you and me this holy art. Why? Because there are so many things that you and I would rather do. I don't know whether that comic still runs on the page. Some may remember it if it doesn't. Pogo. You can tell how much I read the comics. But I remember one line that Pogo mentioned, stated. It was this: we have seen the enemy, and he is us. We've seen the enemy, and he's us. You see, Arnett McEntee still has the old nature. And that old nature is an enemy. And that old nature would seek to do all it can, aided by Satan himself, to hinder me in the work and the service of God. Paul did not want to become a castaway. Oh, there would be no fear of him losing his salvation. That was his for time and for eternity. But oh, he did not want to be laid aside as of no further use. Ever seen the sign on the department store merchandise? Slightly soiled, greatly reduced. Tragically, that is the case in the spiritual as well. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you?" Oh, don't let anything, dear believer, hinder you, or may I let it happen in my life. Finally, there is the crown in verse 21. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, and we an incorruptible. There's a crown of olive leaves. The day after it was awarded, it would begin to die and to dry up. But oh, to win the crown that our beloved Lord will give, an incorruptible crown, it will never decay. We don't know what that crown will be, but we do believe, and I believe it with all my heart, it will be worthy of the giver. And anything that our God has done from creation on, He saw it was good, and so will the crown He gives the believer for running the race. Paul was confident he was going to win the crown. Listen, as he says in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown." He was confident. Paul, where do you get the confidence? Paul would respond, "Because I played by the rules, and I obeyed my God, and I am confident that crown will be mine." Beloved, the judgment seat of Christ will soon be a reality. We're awaiting the blast of a trumpet to be followed by the judgment seat, and crowns are going to be rewarded. I don't know about you. I don't believe the rapture is near. I believe it's imminent. And it will be followed by the judgment seat and the crowns that will be distributed. May God in His goodness, as we are encouraged in our walk for the Lord through the rich ministry of our dear brother Willie, be encouraged to go in for winning crowns. May it be so for His glory and our blessing. Amen.